Hey, what's up? This is Mario with Rugged 33 Podcast, and I also got Sunny with me. How's it going, Sunny?
Good. Just got done with finals. I'm just kind of doing little last-minute things, but I'm doing good.
Nice. So after you're done with finals, what are you going to do?
I will be sleeping in. Finally going to be done with all this anxiety and stress. I'll be nice and relaxed. Watch a lot of movies.
Chill. How much time do you have off?
Till January 9th is the first day back to class.
Oh.
So I got a while.
Okay.
Yeah, which is nice.
Yeah, mine starts like December 30th.
Oh, okay.
And then we go through January 9th. We're back to class on the 10th.
That's good.
Yeah, they don't celebrate Christmas here, so they do celebrate New Year's, so that we have New Year's off. Yeah, that's a whole other story. We could do an episode on holidays in Central Asia.
Yeah,
it's really interesting. But yeah, so that's what's going on. Let's see. I'm not going home, as you guys know. I'm not going home for the holiday seasons. I don't have enough days off, you know.
Yeah,
it's like almost it's just a long travel if I would try and go home and then come back, but that sort of sucks.
Yeah, it does.
But I do have good news. Is I got a hold of your Uncle Ray that lives in Amsterdam. And it's a short flight. And it was cost effective, so I'll be going to Amsterdam for a couple of days. So that's exciting. Are you there?
Yeah. I thought you were gonna keep going on about it, but
no. I'm excited for it.
Fun.
Yeah, it's going to be my first time. And, of course, everybody's like, are you going to the red light district? I'm like, no. Well, no. Van Gogh Museum, that's definitely. And then Anne Frank House. Those are definitely.
Oh, that would be cool. Anne Frank House.
Yeah, those are definitely on my list. So I'm really excited about that. Well, you never got back to me whether you were coming or not, so.
I told you that I wouldn't be able to
because
I haven't renewed my passport, which I've been slacking on. So
hopefully
I promise I'll get that done soon.
Yeah, you need to get it done soon because then you could have met me over there.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't know it was very last minute. So
yeah. No, it's okay. It's all right. It's all good. So, yeah, that's what's going on. And let's get directly into today's subject. Today's subject is divorce.
Fun.
Yeah. One of my favorite subjects I wanted to talk about. Right. So, let's put down the biblical foundation of divorce and what it says about divorce. And as I was studying, and of course, even as going, you know, studying for counseling, marriage counseling, stuff like that, it was part of my discipleship training. As we always go to, you know, trying to, we look at the heart of God and we're like, okay, what does he say about divorce? What does he say about marriage? And so, of course, we always want to try and reconcile a relationship. We don't immediately go to divorce. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Especially now in society, it's like, it's very common. Very, very common. And so today we're going to talk, give a biblical foundation of what divorce looks like in the Bible. And then also just our experience about divorce. So
Yeah,
from a dad's point of view, a husband's point of view, and then from a daughter's. So we'll get there. So, but the first passage that I want to talk about, it's in the Bible. There's clearly two reasons that divorce is allowed, and the first one being adultery and sexual immorality, and you find that in Matthew 5:31-32. And then the second one that is very clear is a desertion. So 1 Corinthians 7:10-16. And so when we read and when we look at both scriptures, we know when somebody cheats or the, you know, something sexual immoral happens in a relationship, it is a very hurtful, very, very hurtful. And so that comes along with a lot of issues. And so this is one of the reasons why even Jesus talks about, you know, divorce in this area. The other part is the desertion where the person leaves the marriage. And but not only in physically leaving, but mentally leaving. I want to be very clear on that. So when you read the scriptures, I would like for you guys to read it for yourselves as well. I gave you both scriptures. You could rewind it or whatever in the podcast, but these are the two main and clear reasons why. And I've also heard counselors say for any form of abuse, mental, physical, you know, any type of abuse is also because that's part of desertion. And so any type of abuse, now again, listeners, I'm not saying, oh, if this happens, you should get a divorce. I'm saying what you should do is to see if there's any way that you could reconcile. If there is no change, then, you know, and the person doesn't, you know, want to reconcile, then yeah, you know, divorce is it, God always gives us a way out, you know, of situations, but it's not the number one thing, you know, the first thing that you should go to, because we read in last the last podcast that we did that we are made in His image and we come together as one, and so we have to again, remember that, you know, in Ephesians 5:22-23. So, as you know, let's get right into it, okay? So I give you the foundation of biblical divorce. And I mean, in the it's crazy because I was reading even Old Testament, and in Deuteronomy it talks about like you could give a woman a divorce certificate if she wasn't pleasing to you. Yeah. There was like so many. Yeah, there was so many. You know, it seemed like there was so many reasons why you could get divorced according to Moses and his law. And so Jesus comes on the scene and he totally, you know, changes it. And so I don't want to really focus on, you know, because that's not the direction that we go of like, oh yeah, we're just gonna get a divorce. That's not the first thing that you should go to. You know, you should go to reconciliation and try to see if you could work things out. So if not, then you're gonna go ahead and move towards a divorce. So let's see. Let's go to this is a difficult one. I thought the marriage one that we did last week was pretty hard. But this one too is a tough one. What was your thoughts about this topic at first?
I thought it was difficult as well because this is something that definitely impacts our personal life that we have gone through. So I think it is kind of like maybe a little bit touchy subject to talk about because it was a hurtful thing, and it's sometimes can be hard to talk about.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. So I just want to be sensitive not only to you because you're my daughter, but you know that I know it'll get a little bit personal. So, let's see here. So for me, and I'll just jump right into it, when I went through the divorce, and I want to be very careful and respectful about my ex, you know? And so I want to be very careful and respectful. So I'm going to really talk about just my experience, you know? And so going through it, I mean, we were married for 23 years.
Dang, that's a long
Yeah,
time.
you could only imagine waking up to the same person for 23 years. You know, it's almost like you get up and you I mean, it was almost mechanical. You know, because 23 years with that person. And so,
That's a long time.
And I remember like just going through the process of divorce. It was very, for me, it was very, I could only speak for me. It was very hurtful. It was a very hurtful situation. And you were young. Isai was already of age. And so, what, you were about 15, 16, somewhere or other? Maybe younger?
About 15, I believe.
Okay. Yeah. And so, anyways, it ends up just being me, you, and Isai. And I just remember for me, it was a very emotional time. Even being a man, it was very emotional. They say that when you go through divorce, it's almost like you're going through a death. Yeah. No matter how good or how bad it was, like you're. Like emotionally, that's what you're going through. And I remember being confused. I remember just being hurt. Like, man, I can't believe this is happening, you know, especially after 23 years. And so I could remember waiting, thinking that you were asleep already. And I would actually go for a run or I would go to the gym. And that's how I would deal with it. I would just deal with those thoughts. I would deal with the loss. I would deal with, you know, the loss of the marriage. It was in my situation, I want to say this, it wasn't even so much the person, it was what was lost. Does that make sense to you? You know, it was and we're coming up on Christmas right now, and it was like, I mean, we had like the you know, Chicano like best family. It was like we were married, we were young, we had a son and a daughter, we had, you know what I'm saying? It was like this picture perfect, and so many people were surprised that we even got a divorce.
Yeah, I remember
You know, they were like shocked, you know, because we had like this picture perfect, which seems like a picture perfect
that.
marriage, relationship, family. And so just that loss was huge and it was heavy on me. You know, like I didn't know how to deal with it. Like, okay, how do I navigate through this loss? How I have a daughter at home, I have, you know, a son that's going to college. Like, what do I do? It's really, really difficult when it first went down. What about for you when it first went down?
I feel like at first I definitely was like it hadn't hit me yet. Like I was just like, oh, this is just, this is a prank. Like this isn't real. It was a bad dream, and it took me a little bit for it to kind of hit me. And it was hard because at first I didn't know how to like react because I really like wasn't in my feelings at that age. Like I was very just like push through it and move on and continue doing what I need to do, even though I was so young. And I basically just like didn't deal with it at first.
I see. Yeah, well, I remember I don't know. I remember and I'll bring up this. I remember one time you came up to me when it first went down. And when I say when it first went down, it's like when we got separated, you know? The divorce wasn't final. It took like, what, 2 years?
Yeah, it took a while.
Yeah. And so when the separation first happened, then it was like, I remember you coming to me. I think we were like 3 months in, and you're like, I didn't know it was that bad. I don't know if you remember this, but you're like, I didn't even know it was that bad. Like, I thought you were sleeping in the other room because your back hurt. Do you remember that?
I was basically just like in denial.
And for a daughter, you're going through it, you're trying to. I could only imagine what was going through your mind. I could only speak on my part, you know. Like, I was trying to be there for you and trying to help you through the process while I'm going through being devastated, you know. So yeah, it was difficult. It was really hard, you know. Especially with our family, we were like almost like on a, we had this like routine that we did, you know. It was like, you guys go to school, we go to work, come home, dinner's ready, we sit down at the table and we eat, we check in, you know, we're talking about our life. Hey, what's happening? What's going on? We always ate dinner to get together. Like, sit down, eat dinner together, whether it was at a restaurant or at our home. And so when those regular things were broken or were no more, then it was very difficult to navigate through as a dad, you know? Because I'm like, what do we do? You know? What do we do from here? How about for you?
It was really hard because it's like all like it's hard to talk about this now from like knowing like what children need in difficult situations like this, especially in divorce. Like it's basically like my whole routine was broken and there was no consistency. So like it threw me off like in every area and it was really hard. Like, I didn't go to school like a lot, like but in my school wasn't the greatest. Like it was a good school, but they weren't good about like noticing, things. They did not notice that I had like 40 something absences by the time it was almost the end of my junior year. Even and yeah. Like do you remember that? How they're like, your child has this many absences. We're kind of worried, like why? Like
You know,
do you
to
remember?
be on no, I to be honest, I don't. I
Wow.
like I'm sitting here shocked. Like, dude, you missed that much school?
Yeah, but I still had good grades. So I feel like that wasn't a cause, like it wasn't really like a concerning enough for them because I still had good grades. Like even though I was absent, I would still turn in my work, like, and I would still get good grades. And so yeah, so it wasn't like I like even though I wasn't there, like I was smart enough to where I can just do the work and turn it in and still get a good grade without actually being there and learning whatever they were doing, So.
And just thinking about, like, I honestly think that God covered me in that time. Like, seriously, like my mind. Like, I don't think I felt as much pain as I probably should have, you know what I'm saying? Because yeah, I don't even remember you missing that much school. And that's unlike me as a dad to allow you to miss that much school. You know?
And I could like remember like what we were doing to the days that I was school because I remember like sometimes like I can remember this clear as day. You take me to school in the Jeep. I'm like literally wearing like sweats and like a hoodie and like because it was like December. It was cold. It was winter at this time already, and I'm literally just sitting there, and I remember like I just wanted to burst out in tears, And I did not want to be at school. I just wanted to be at home and lay on my bed and watch cartoons or whatever. And I remember you were just like looking at me and you're like, I knew that you felt bad. I could just tell. You were like, "Do you want to just not go to school and we'll go get Starbucks and go and lay in our pajamas all day and go and watch movies?"
Oh, God.
And I'd be like, "Yeah." And because I could tell you felt bad. And so that's when I would stay home. Like we would just literally lay around together and watch
Wow.
movies and go get Starbucks.
That's crazy. Yeah, no, now that you're talking about it, I could remember. I'm like, oh, crap. Yeah, I do remember those things. And well, I want to be very respectful, even, with you, is like, because there's things that I remember about you, like you going through that time. It was so difficult.
Yeah, I remember how worried you were for me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because I just remember, I felt like I was the dad who like failed, who brought on anxiety to you, because you started having anxiety.
That's why I didn't want to be at school.
And I
It
knew
brought
how
that
that
up.
felt. Yeah, I knew how that felt because I had suffered with anxiety when, my brother passed away and later on in life. Ugh, it's horrible.
Yeah, it's not fun.
No. So, I mean, how, as the kid, how was it to navigate through that time?
Oh, it was terrible. It was
Yeah.
absolutely terrible.
Yeah.
It's like you're already a kid. You already like I was a teenager. You already have, you're already trying to figure out who you are. Like you have all these other things. I'm, worrying about school and soccer and my two big priorities, like at that age. Like that's all I worried about. And church as well, and my church duties that I had to do. And so yeah, I was always like, was really tough. It was really tough because especially because I didn't know how to like navigate through my feelings. Like basically there's like days that I did not sleep. Like I literally just stay up and literally watch movies and like I would not sleep or I would fall asleep, like crash out like really late, like 6 in the morning, and then have to wake up for school or sometimes not even go to school. But and I didn't really like talk to any of my friends about it because I didn't feel like I was close enough with them to like open up about it. So there was nobody that I could really talk to, and there was only like maybe two people, if that. And they were like my kind of closest friends, and they were even shocked. They're like, "What? Like, you have the perfect family, blah blah blah." And I'm like, "Okay, like I know, like, but this is still something that's, affecting me."
Yeah, I don't need that right now. I need like, you needed to be cared for.
And so basically, like, I didn't feel comfortable enough talking to other people about it. And especially, not to you or my mom. And it was just really hard because I just felt alone. I felt like
Go ahead.
I felt like I couldn't really talk to my brother about it or like or anything because because he's older and so he was an adult at that point and it's like he can do whatever he wants with his life. Like I'm just a kid, like I'm still in high school, like I don't what what's gonna happen to me now? Like, am I gonna move? Like, and so it's kind of like I don't know what's gonna happen next.
Yeah. Living like that for a while, huh? Yeah, that's horrible. Yeah, and even talking about it like as a dad now, I'm like, I royally failed my kid.
It's okay, Dad.
No, I mean, you say that, but it's like that as a dad, that's the way that I feel. And there was times where I was like, am I doing the right thing? Did I, it was just like my mind was all over the place. Months later, my dad passes away.
That
And
didn't
so,
help.
no. So he was the person that helped me navigate through life and be like, he would never, you know, your grandpa, he'd never give me the answer. He would just ask you questions and allow you to, and he was so good at it, and allow you to navigate and discover and come up with, you know, a solution. And so that was gone. And so when he passed, it was like I have two deaths, like I'm bleeding out. It was like somebody cut off, and I appreciate Pastor James Ranger from New Life because, man, he talked to me through that time. Pastor Martinez from New Life, I'd go to counseling.
Oh yeah, isn't that the counselor you took me to? I really liked him. He really helped me a lot through that time. Like when you took me the first time and he gave me like a pan like a big booklet full of like different verses that like that talk about different feelings. So if like if you had anxiety, it's like under anxiety there was a bunch of verses that like talked about it. And so whenever you have these feelings, he's like, just look through it. And I took that thing everywhere with me. I even would put that in my backpack and take it to school with me. And he had me start journaling because even at because he knew that I would get a lot of anxiety, especially at school. And so he would be like, whenever you're feeling a certain way at school, like pull out your journal and just start writing. He's like, you can just write whatever, like it's for you. And he was like, and if you want, like whatever you're feeling, we can talk about it like at our next session or whatever. And I was like, okay. So yeah, he really helped me a lot.
Yeah, that's Pastor Martinez, older guy. He reminded me of your grandpa also. Because the way he would talk to me, it was straightforward, and he'd be like, "Mijo," you know. He would talk, and I would just be like, "Oh my God!" Like, I was just so thankful, you know. And it was so people who are going through, I have a lot of listeners that have messaged me. They're like, "We can't wait to get to the divorce one because we're
Oh,
going through
bird.
it." Yeah. They're like, hey, we champion you and Sunny to even talk about it. Like, wow. So I just want to tell my divorce friends is that, of course, the first person you should rely on is King Jesus. And go to scripture and not only know it, but believe it. Believe what it says about you. And then to have a support group that could rally around you and help you through this time, whether you're a parent or you're a child, listen to what Sonny went through, man. Like, as a dad, years later, it still breaks my heart to listen to her. You know, that's my daughter, no matter what. Excuse me. So have a support group. You're gonna need it. You need it. Don't be the lonely person. You know, I'm not saying you have to tell your business to everybody, but find those people that are gonna help and encourage you. And I had Pastor James Ranger. I had good friends that helped me process through it. My cousin Sarah. I had really good people that didn't give me the answers, but allowed me to process through it. Go ahead, Sonny. You have anything on that part?
I'll talk a little bit more about like a child's perspective.
Yeah, please.
Now that I'm older, like I can see where I could see a lot of things differently now, but back when I was a kid, like and that was going on, I would literally like stay because I was up at night. Like I knew like you would leave the house like late at night because you thought I was asleep. Or like early in the morning because you thought I was asleep. And so during these times, like your children are like, and because like you're going through a hurtful time, like, well, for me, I basically like wanted to always know where you were going or like what you were doing. Like, and so I was very like aware of when you were asleep, when you were awake, if and when you were leaving the house, like what you were doing. Like I knew what your movements were because I felt like it was like important at that time, I guess. For I don't know, for some reason I was like fixated on that. And I think it's really important for like parents to talk to your kids, and even though you're like still grieving, like your children are too. And so I think that's very important for parents to remember because you know, obviously they're grieving the loss of the family unit. You know, it's not the togetherness no more. It's now things are going to be a lot different. And I think it's important for parents to not put their children in the middle. You know, because this was not to put our stuff out there, but you know, this is a issue, and it's a common issue with I have a lot of friends who you know, come from divorced parents, and we actually called ourselves the Divorced Parents Club. Yeah, because
Oh
it was crazy, and it was
my
kind of like to kind of deal with like what was going on in our lives, because we were in high school at this time. So to kind of like, I don't know, like deal with it, we would make jokes. We'd be like, okay, who has it worse? We'd play that game, like who has it worse? Yeah. You know, one kid's like, you know, my mom tried to kill me. And we're like, okay, you win. Like,
God.
yeah, like it was sad. Like, you know, the other one's like, yeah, my mom left when I was a baby, or you know, like all this stuff. And like, it's sad, but yeah, and like a lot of
Those
like,
were your coping mechanisms.
yeah, like all we could do was kind of like, huh, like make jokes about it and laugh because we didn't know any other way to like. To you know, make things be okay.
Man, that
Yeah.
hurts my heart.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it's sad because you know a lot of these kids too.
I, but by what you said about, oh, my mom, I know who you're talking about. I'm like, oh, I know that one, you know. Yeah, I know a lot of them.
And so yeah, and they also expressed how, you know, their parents would didn't want to communicate with each other. So they would communicate through the children. And that also causes a lot of an anxiety for kids as well, because it's like, and a lot of us like express the same things like, yo, we didn't get, when did we marry you guys? When did we become involved in this marriage? And it felt like that, you know, it was unfair because we weren't asked to be brought into this world. You know, you guys decided to get married and have kids, like, so it felt like the marriage was being put on these kids, like,
Right on your shoulders.
yeah, on our shoulders. And it felt like if we had to try to like put things back together.
And by far I'm not, I think, well, you know me. I'm not trying to give any excuse. It, for me at that time, you know, when you're talking, I'm like, man, I know I tried my hardest to make it easy for Sunny. And if I look hindsight, could I have done things differently and better? Absolutely. There's so many. I think as a parent, for me, looking back and I'm like, man, I wish I would have did this more, or I wish I didn't do that. Like as a parent, you have like this regret, you know, like, man, I could have did that. I could have protected Sunny and Isai from this. I could have made this decision, you know, but I didn't. You know what I'm saying? So you have that regret, you have that hurt. You're like, man, as especially as a dad, you want to be not only a provider, but you're a protector. And sometimes even a protector against your own self. You know what I'm saying? Ugh.
And it's funny that this comes up, not like funny, but it's crazy how this comes up now because the last like I'm taking a child development class. Well, I just got done with it, but the last kind of like content from the chapters that we did, it talked about what teachers can do to help like kids that are, you know, their family's going through a divorce and stuff like that. And you know, some of the stuff I mentioned, like staying consistent, like even though that like that goes along for like teachers, that goes along for the family as well. And I feel like it's might even be a little bit harder when the children are younger because they don't understand. So I think it's what, even what I read about, like, in my textbooks, that it's very important for the parents to make sure to help their child understand that, it's not their fault, because that's the first thing children are going to go to, like, child of any age, and not just young, but like older too, to always
So,
make them understand that it's not their fault.
yeah, so was there a point of time where you thought that it was your fault?
No, I don't think so, because like I knew, you and my mom always had like your issues, and everything. So I felt like that came into play. Like I understood that already. So it's like I knew that there was nothing that I could really do. So yeah, that so I didn't really go towards, that kind of a state of mind. I was just more like, bam, when did all this happen? Like this happened quick. Like, one minute at my friend's birthday party, next thing I know, like, oh, we're separating. I was like, oh, okay. Merry Christmas to you too, guys.
Yeah, December. I can remember the day, December 9.
Yeah, a couple days after my birthday.
Yeah,
Where were you
and it
guys at
was
on
see how you are. Oh
that
my God.
one? That's what I would use against my friends. I'd be like, oh yeah, did your parents separate a couple days after your birthday and right before Christmas? And they'd be like, damn, they're like, that's a good one.
Wow. Well, I remember because it was on a Sunday and I had to still go to church. I was a senior pastor. I still had to get up and preach. And I remember me and you, like intentionally, it was just me and you. I just wanted to be close to you, you know? And I sat, me and you sat. We went with other people to eat lunch after church. Even after all that, I'm like, oh my God, I should have. Anyways, and I remember me and you just sitting there. And I remember just being devastated. Like, I'm trying to hold it together. I remember we're at Sizzlers, you were wearing a black top.
Yeah, I think we were just trying like to have some, consistency, like just trying to, make things somewhat okay, even though it was going terribly, We're trying to find some type of like normalcy or whatever.
Yeah, normal consistency because we were used to that. We had our thing, you know, that we did. Yeah, man, that's so crazy. Oh my gosh. Well, I remember some, and you know, just difficult times. I was thinking about it. I remember one time you and your friends were all going shopping for something. I can't remember what holiday it was. And I remember you walking through the parking lot by yourself, and all your other friends had their moms
Ah, yes.
with them. And I was sitting in the Jeep by myself, just watching my daughter walk across the parking lot by herself, getting ready to shop for something, you know? And it's those kinds of memories that just would kill me. And I would actually think about, like, did I make the right decision? You know? It was just, it was so difficult to navigate through. Or the time when, like, I was trying to open the door to go inside the house, and then it was like one of your breaking points, and you were just, I don't know if you
Add a couple of those.
right. And I remember, like you lost it. You were just like, what the hell is going on? Like, you're just in tears. And I'm like, I'm trying to open the door, you know? And I won't say what you said because it's you know, but I was just like, and it was those times that would break my heart. It was those times that I was like, oh my God, like, as a dad, am I doing the right thing? Did I make the right decision? Am I, you know, am I really protecting my children? Am I doing, you know? It was very difficult. And I was trying to hide it from you. I was trying to hide it from people, you know, hiding
Like,
the
and I'm like, I'm over there at night, like watching you. I'm like, you can't hide anything from me.
Well, I remember I would fall asleep sometimes out of pure exhaustion. And I remember like you would like well, I would wake up and like my boots would be off. You know, I'd be like covered and I was like freaking sunny. You know, because I knew that you took like my boots off and you covered me. I'm like, why is she like it was almost like you were caring for me, you know, while I'm going through this. And I'd be like, dude, I'm supposed to be caring for you. You know, that's the way I felt. So
I think you brought up a great, point about me literally just like having a breakdown over something as you trying to open the door, because that like that's something that's very common. Like kids don't it's hard to to talk about feelings, for any person, or especially like a teenager at, and everything. So we will blow up over little things. I did all the time. One of probably the worst ones was a teacher. He literally gave me a full on, like, I was full of anxiety. Like, he was being kind of, he's kind of being mean to me. I was a good student, like, in his class. Like, I always got good grades. It was algebra. It was an algebra class. And that day we happened to take a test, but that was also the time that you were picking me up, to go see, Martinez, the counselor. He was just being mean. Like, I was really slow at like taking tests and stuff, but I always got good grades. I was good in his class. But for some day, he chose that day to pick on me. And I remember I was like, oh, I knew that you're gonna come pick me up at this time. So I remember phone rings from the office, and I knew that was you. And he told me, he was like, oh, Sonny, go when you're done finishing your test. And in my head, I was like, sir, like, you literally know that every time we take a test, I always come in at lunch to finish my last couple of like questions. And I was just like, well, I have a really like I have an appointment that's important. Like, I have to go, like, please. And he was like, no, you're gonna go when you're finished. And I was just like, okay. So I was like, I was literally almost bursted into tears. I'm just like writing down whatever, like, and then I literally go and just give it to him. And I remember that when I find as soon as I walked out of his room, I started bursting into tears. I could not stop crying. And then remember, I walked into the office and I was crying, and you asked me like why it took me so long. It was because I was trying to finish my test, and because he wouldn't let me go. And then I remember as soon as we got into the car, like, I was just couldn't stop crying, and you were so upset because, I was having a full-on breakdown because of this teacher who decided to, be mean to me out of all days and out of all situations I was going through. And they didn't even care. I remember you called the front office, and you were mad, and you were telling the front office lady, and and this and that. And yeah, I remember that was just one of my many famous breakdowns.
I at that time when you would have those, I would try to empathize with you, you know. I really would, but I would get so upset. I'd get angry, you know, because I felt like it wasn't my choice. It was like I felt helpless. There's nothing I could do about it. You know, and so it was as a dad, it was really hard for me because I couldn't protect you. And so I was really angry at the time, and it was just, oh man, it was horrible. It was not a good thing. So I could only imagine how it was for you and that how it was for your brother. Like, I knew I was miserable and I knew I was hurt, but I could only imagine, because it was like when I finally came to the point of, okay, this is real, and I'm gonna fast forward a little bit, to the point of the divorce. When I came to that point is, and I could remember your brother coming into my room and saying this: "She is not coming back. Why don't you just divorce her?" And
Dang.
I'll never put, and I don't say that to put it on Isai, like, "Oh yeah, well, the reason why I got divorced," that's not what I'm saying. I'm a man.
But that was the truth.
I'm a man. So I was like, wow, like if my own son is saying this, then it's like, okay, it's time. And I'd never put that on his shoulders, and that's not why I said it. But for me, it was like an aha moment. Like, okay.
It was like that moment, like, dang, my kid's telling me, like, it has to be true, you know?
Especially him,
Yeah, because
because
he's
he doesn't
very,
talk much.
yeah.
So, and of course, talking to counselors at that time, just trying to go through it. So I remember I had the papers. You guys probably seen them. I would try and hide them from you guys.
You can never hide anything from me.
Horrible. So I remember filling them out, going actual to Kern County, and I remember, like, I'm turning in my divorce papers. I can't remember what the lady said at the counter, but I remember I just, like, I lost it. I just busted out crying, to the point of, like, she's like, "Oh my God, Mr. Gomez, are you okay?" And I'm like, "No, I'm not."
You're like, do I look okay?
I just said, "No, I'm not." And I just finished signing some papers that I had to sign, and I turned them in. And I just remember, just, I couldn't believe, because I didn't want anybody to see me cry. But I just lost it. Like, I couldn't keep it together anymore. And it was just so hurtful. I remember just going home. I probably just went to my room and crashed out that day, because I would sleep a lot, and that's normally not like me. But that was like one of my breaking points. Of, like, I couldn't just hold in my feelings anymore. Like, just it was the ugly cry too, like boogers and everything.
Not the ugly cry.
Yeah, in public. I'm trying, and believe me, I'm trying to hide it, man. I was like, but I couldn't do it anymore. I couldn't hide it. So it's just those things. Divorce is so hurtful, man. It oh man, it
Very.
you know, and it and the reason why I wanted to do this is because I have a lot of friends that are going through it.
That's sad.
Yeah, it's very, very sad. And Mario, how did you navigate through it? What did that look like? And I'm like, dude, I stood away from things that I knew that were dangerous to me. I wasn't passive. I wasn't passive to other women. I wasn't passive to drinking. I wasn't passive to, I was very careful, because you're in such a hurt state that you could very well go to any vice. And so I wanted to be careful. And it was crazy, because I remember at the time I was trying to continue to push with the church that I had. And thank God for them and the congregation. Some people left through the, you know, as I was going through the process of divorce, and some people stayed. And but it was when once your grandpa passed, I sat down with Pastor Ranger, and he was like, "Mario, dude, you're bleeding out, man. Like, you're going through a divorce. Your dad just died. Like, it's like physically, it would be like physically somebody cut off both of your arms, and there's and you're just bleeding. That's what happened to you." And so right then and there, I was able to understand, like, okay, I need help, and I need to get healthy for myself and for my children. And that's when I had to take a step back from everything. You know, focus on me, focus on you and Isai. But still, it was difficult. It wasn't easy.
No, gotta remind me.
Right. Yeah. So I think that navigating through the unknown, you know, and the disruption of what you were used to was very difficult. You know, not knowing. And I didn't know. For me, I'm used to the unknown. Like, I grew up as a missionary kid, you know, it's like I knew I was going to leave sometime soon. I knew that. So for me, it was difficult, but I know it was more difficult for you know, Anissa, just the unstable, not knowing, you know, and then you having to move. You ended up having to move to Northern California with your mom.
They had to convince me because I was fighting. I remember Isai like came into my room and sat on my bed and was like talking to me, and he like basically just had to con he was trying to convince me to like to just kind of agree, or like, you know, because I did not want to leave. I was just not having it. I was like, no, you know, this is, because it was even worse. It was like, okay, our everything is already messed up, and now you're gonna even like remove me from my somewhat like normal-ish life, because like I was still playing soccer and everything. So, you know, at least I had some type of outlet. And so it's like, if you move me, I have nothing. And so that was also really difficult. So I hope parents out there, if you're going through divorce, please do not move your children. Firsthand example, it was terrible. And it was really hard because, you know, I hadn't really no friends. I only had friends because I happened to be going to the same high school as my cousin, who's the same age as me. That's the only reason why I had friends and I knew somebody. But I feel like it would have been even worse if I hadn't had anybody or had known anybody. So I think that's one piece of advice I would give. Do not move. Do not take your children out of their normal, you know, like,
Their normalcy.
because that just it's like it's everything's already changing already. So why are you gonna take them out of something that is familiar to them and like throw them even in another whole situation, you know?
Yeah, that was a whole other thing. We could do a whole podcast just on that.
Yep, we could. I got a lot about that.
I lose you in a custody battle.
Yeah, that was terrible.
And it was,
That's also another piece of advice. Do not do a custody battle. That is not fun for children or for parents. No.
yeah. And man, that was a heartbreaker.
Definitely.
It was a heartbreaker for me. I couldn't believe it. And as a dad, I was like, dude, what did I do but get an amazing job so that I could provide, you know, for my family? Because that's what the courts use against me. You are not home enough to provide proper care for your daughter. I was like shocked. You know, like I'm a single dad. What do you want me to do, man?
But it's also too, like, the state of California, like, they're always for the mother, which, like,
I wanted you to say it and not me because I didn't want to sound like a
oh, yeah.
bitter single dad, you know.
Oh, yeah, no,
Well,
I.
you were part of the system, you know, you're part of what that does.
And it's like, even though, like, I was a teenager, it was kind of like I hadn't, no say. And
Yeah.
I know I didn't want to go to court, and you didn't even want me to go either because, extra trauma. And
Yeah.
I felt like things probably would have been even worse if I did have to go to court. I feel like that would have sent me over the edge or something because I was already tilting there.
Yeah, well, I knew what you were going through, and it was like, there's no way. There's no way I'm gonna do that to you. It was hard for me. Imagine a kid, you know?
And I'm just glad that, like, I didn't really act out, I guess, and like, I guess in a normal way that children would. And I feel like it was by the grace of God that I did it, honestly, because like that's literally, I think, the only thing that saved me from acting out and doing crazy stuff and whatnot, because
Yeah, I mean,
I just knew, like, no, this isn't good,
yeah, because and it's funny that you say that because, of course, it is by the grace of God, you know. Yeah, I remember getting a call when you called me when one of your it was you were you guys were supposed to be
Halloween.
yeah, you guys were supposed to be trick-or-treating. And then that's when I became a superhero on somebody's front lawn.
I'll give the little brief statement about
Yeah,
that.
yeah.
Okay, so around this time, they were going through stuff. My friends knew that they just knew I was going through stuff. So this is like Halloween time, and they're like, "Hey, Sunny." Like, I was the voice of reason. I always have been for a very long time. I was never the one to, go out and, do crazy stuff, like drink or do drugs or anything. I was very just like shy. And they're like, "Sunny, come with us. Like, our friend, he's having a Halloween party. Like, it's down the street from one of our friends' house. So, like, it's fine. Like, we can just say we're trick-or-treating and everything." And I wasn't gonna go. I was like, "No, because we have, soccer tryouts. Like, no, that's too important." Like, I had all these other things on my mind.
Right.
And last minute, they got me to go. And I was just like, "Fine, I'll go." But I was like, "But then I'm gonna leave after a little bit. Like, I'll just go, to hang out with you guys, and that's it." But took some turn the these events took some turns. Somehow my friends ended up getting alcohol, and one of them ended up getting super intoxicated, and I ended up having to carry her out of a party. I called my dad, at this ripe teenage age, and all my friends got scared, and the rest of them like left. And so I'm here stuck with my unconscious friend, and I called my dad. He had to come and, help me. I called 911 and all this stuff. So it was a big thing. So me and my friend group basically kind of shut down this party, but they never, there was like even video camera security footage of us and all that stuff, but they never found out that it was us. And but she is healthy. She lived. She's okay. But yes, I am now known as, that friend who calls their parent whenever something bad happens.
Well, I arrive and this kid is unconscious on a lawn, you know, and I'm like, oh, here we go. Put her on her side, you know,
And it was
get her
worse
going.
because there were adults there, and
Yeah.
they were yelling at me like if I was dumb.
Yeah.
And it was just terrible. But anyways, continue, Father.
Yeah, so and that's when I was, you know, have you call 911. I'm working on her, trying to get her to come back to it was not a good thing.
Yeah, it was terrible. It was scary.
Yeah, very, very scary. And
Yeah.
then it's the after effects that I have parents sitting in their garage watching all this. There's this unconscious girl, like, it is not good.
Yeah.
You know, and I thank God I had enough sense not to punch the dad in the face. Because believe me, that's what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And I just jumped in the Jeep and we left. But it was those times and those things. I'm just like, as a dad, I'm already going through the divorce process, going through it.
Yeah.
You know, I have a daughter, I have a son that I'm trying to keep healthy, mentally healthy, and it was difficult. We're going to come to an end here. We could talk about this all day long.
Yep.
But I want to leave some encouragement is it's never, even in marriage counseling, it's the first thought is not to divorce. The first thought is there reconciliation? Can this be reconciled? You know? And if not, then those are the biblical ways that you can get a divorce, you
Yeah.
know. And we went over the desertion, you know, sexual immorality, any type of abuse. And so I just want you guys to know, like, you guys heard firsthand, like, these are real accounts of us going through divorce from a dad's perspective, a husband's perspective, a single dad's perspective, a daughter's perspective, the kid. And I'll be the first one to say, there are times when I'm like, did I do the right thing? That I second guess myself, even till today. I just want to be honest. So, guys, I hope you guys liked Rugged 33 podcast on divorce. I know it was a rough one, but man, hopefully it's helping somebody. It's opened your eyes. Sunny, thank you for being honest as always.
You're welcome.
And doing this with, I love doing this with you. It's amazing, you know.
So fun.
But I got my friend, and this is an announcement. I got my friend Ice to come on, and
Ooh, okay.
she's gonna talk about actually relationships in Central Asia.
Ooh, that would be cool.
Yeah, it's gonna
That's
be
gonna
a
be a
good
good
one,
one.
because talking about how brides get stolen, arranged marriages, it all still goes down.
That's
So we're
cool.
gonna, yeah, it's gonna be really cool. It's gonna be a really cool episode. Actually, I think we'll record that sometimes this week, and I'll put
Okay.
it out next week. So you'll get a break,
Nice.
Sunny.
Thank you, Father.
Well, I'm excited. We're getting ready to celebrate Christmas. Merry Christmas out there. God bless you
Yes, and
guys.
Happy New
Happy
Year.
New Year's. It's gonna be amazing and awesome. I'm excited for the new season and the new year. It's gonna be really
Yes.
cool. All right, peace out. Thank you, Sunny.
Thank you, Dad. Bye
Bye. Bye, guys.
bye.